peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson especially, Jesus' last reply. O woman, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So what is going on here? It's called wrestling with God. And God appreciates it when we will take him at his word, grab on to what he has said, take the scriptures, believe them, and call him to do what he has promised. Namely, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Namely, being our God and being our Savior. Namely, walking with us and being with us all through life. But there is a backstory to all of this, because around the world, religions do wander into this business of, well, who is acceptable in the sight of God, and who should God be interested in? And if you doubt whether that's in the history of the New Testament, go back and read some of the things the Pharisees said, such as, if he knew what kind of woman this was who was touching him, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Shouldn't be interested in sinners, you see. Which would be kind of extreme, wouldn't it? Because there would be nobody acceptable in the kingdom of God. But let's keep on going. The woman that comes to him in this text is a Canaanite. A Canaanite? Those were the people that were in the Holy Land when the people of Israel went in, and God told the people of Israel, these cities, wipe it out. Why? Do you know what the Canaanites did for worship? They practiced child sacrifice. Your own children. Take them to the temple and in gruesome and painful ways offer them up to the false gods of the Canaanites. Baal and Dagon and Molech and on it went. And you go a little further on that and ask, who were those false gods? Who were they really? And the answer comes back, either a futility, a nothing, or they were pretend gods, namely demons. That answer comes in the New Testament. Demons. So a background of the Canaanite woman was the practice of offering the children to the demons, and now the Canaanite woman has a daughter who is cruelly oppressed by demonic forces. And you say, at least in passing, in the language of my generation, what goes around comes around, right? She is trapped in that. It's her history. How does she break loose? How does she break free? Her history is the false religion that binds her to the forces of evil. How does she break loose? Is that a contemporary question? Is that a something that is going on in our day, in our age? Is it possible for me to go one step further and risk offending everyone here by saying, whatever you put as the highest thing in your life, that is your God, and whatever you worship as your God, that is what you are offering your children to? might be possessions, money, fame. It might be being popular or cool. And when you have made that offering, there are consequences. That makes it even worse. Because, frankly, that's justice. Do you want justice? Now we've gone as far as we can, and hopefully the vision of what is down that path is horrifying and offensive. How do you break free from that? It's the same question. The same question keeps coming up over and over and over again. This time it's, how do we break free from that? In other places it is, this will be familiar, how do I find a loving God? How do I find a God who will welcome me? Me, a sinner. How do I find a God that I can go to, who is a just and righteous and holy God, and yet I can go to Him and not be summarily thrown into hell? Where do I find that? Along that path comes, oh, a multitude of people. Abraham, Job, Moses, David, Solomon, Elijah. How do I stand in the presence of God? And then there's Martin Luther, who spends his life struggling with, how do I find a God who loves? Everybody tells me about a God who is just and holy and powerful and sovereign and mighty and stand in awe of His wonder, but that doesn't do me any good. Because if He's not a loving God, then I'm doomed. You go around the world and you will find religion after religion after religion telling people how to be holy, how to be more righteous, how to claim a place in the kingdom of God. And when everybody is uncertain about how to do that, then the false teachers come in and they start telling people all kinds of things that they would have to do in order to find a way to stand righteous before God. And that's the situation in the Middle East. How do we find a loving God? Back to Martin Luther. Where can I find the love of God? Where can I find the mercy? Where can I find the grace of God? The answer, I find Him only in this person, Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus who is in flesh, with hands and feet, who was born for me, came into this world. Because if I try and find God anywhere else than in this God who has a body, was born in Bethlehem. If I try and find Him anywhere else than, Luther says, this hairy God, if I try and find Him anywhere else, I will only come running up against God in His holy, righteous judgment. And no matter what I do, I can't measure up and I'm doomed. So I've got to find Him in Jesus Christ. What does the Canaanite woman do? Somehow she has learned this. What does she say, starting out? Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Really? She's got it, doesn't she? This is the merciful God. This is the God who hears prayers. Not only that, who hears the prayers of sinners. Flesh that out. Who hears the prayers of sinners who have horrible things in their ancestry, history, former life, in their hearts, in their souls, in their lives, in their behavior, have horrible things within us. But here is God who takes the sinner and says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. She knows that this is the one place she is going to find the mercy and the love of God. Absolutely knows it. So where is she going? Straight to Jesus. What's she doing? Not letting up. Not being turned away. Not being refused. She will not have God say no to her, because she knows that right there in that person, Jesus, there is God in his love. That's an absolutely amazing thing. She's had the word of God come to her and deep within her soul tell her who this Jesus is. She has had the promises, the scriptures, the work of the Holy Spirit calling and drawing her. She has faith. God has created that thing called faith, where she grabs on to the words of the Bible and she knows that there's her Savior. Oh, send her away, send her away. No, she's not going. As only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lord, have mercy. She's not going to be turned back. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I don't care. Call me whatever you want. I know there is mercy here. I will have mercy from you. I will have grace. I will have salvation. Because I know who you are. I know that that's what you came to offer. I'm not going away. O woman, your faith is great. It's an amazing thing. One of my favorite shows way back when to watch was titled Newhart. The reason why I really liked it is because of what the other actors and actresses said. They said the star of the show, he doesn't keep the good lines. He doesn't take the best lines. He gives all of them away. And he just sits there and lets everybody else have the great lines. This is what Jesus is doing. He's giving away that great profession of faith that she speaks, of knowing that God in his mercy is there. And she gets to say it. We get to hear it. And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about her, aren't we? I think she'll be a delight to meet when we get to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.